I'm talking about the way of the wicked. As we start out young in our life, we most often are influenced by the society and the world around us. We see and view people of great influence, and we visualize patterning our life after them. We see the great success of athletes, of politicians, business leaders, and oftentimes we hold them in envy as we struggle in our early stages of our life. We've all been there. We all struggled early. Asaph, in the 73rd Psalm, had the same perspective as he considered the wicked. That was in the scripture reading that we had. He contemplated that the wicked lived in prosperity. They are not troubled or plagued like other men. They bulge with abundance and have more than the heart could wish. They prospered in the world and are increased in riches. Seems like everything goes right for them. Even others recorded in the scriptures had to deal with this in their perception too and the things that they saw. David made the statement in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 35, "I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree." The wicked seem to advance not only in power but in everything that they set their hand to do. It seems like they just flourish over and over again. We ourselves have seen or known of people who this can be said about in their lives. And this is just not unique to our generation, but it's seen in every generation and will continue to be so until the time will end, that will be the case. Job made the observation in Job chapter 21 that the wicked become old and are mighty in power. Even their houses were safe from fear. Their livestock prospered and did not suffer misfortune. So they gathered in wealth. He commented that they spend their days in wealth. Job further states the philosophy of the wicked in Job 21, verses 14 and 15, where that philosophy was, "Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" When we are young in life, we consider this in our mind and how the wicked prosper, but yet do not serve God. And mankind struggles with this in their mind just as Asaph did, thinking, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning." That was in the scripture reading in verses 13 and 14. But there's one thing that we must remember, that in our walking by sight, all is not what it seems to be. We must carefully consider what the scriptures teach us concerning the way of the wicked. And when we consider what God has said to them, then our thinking will become clear, just as it did for Asaph when he said, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end." In verses 16 and 17 of Psalm 73. We must consider what the way of the wicked is, that the eyes of the Lord. Proverbs, the 15th chapter, verse 9, declares, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord." That's what the way of the wicked is in God's eyes. We know that being an abomination in the eyes of the Lord will cause God to set his face against them. That's a given. We must consider that in spite of thinking that the rich rule the world due to their strength and that we become subservient and oppressed by them, that the scripture makes the statement in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 30, "The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth." That's from God. The wicked will not inhabit the earth. No matter how strong they may seem to us, they're not going to inhabit the earth. And the reason for scripture revealing this statement is because of the statement found in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." Their years are going to be shortened. How many have we known who have left this life far too early due to tragedy or other occurrences? A car wreck kills actor Paul Walker. Drugs take the life of Prince, Whitney Houston, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, singer George Michaels, and actress Judy Garland, Liza Tookin. And then this morning, Jane says that Adam Sandler took his life. The list can go on and on. We must contemplate the scripture which gives us the insight in the way of the wicked as recorded in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The expectation of the wicked is not set in stone. It is not a given conclusion. No matter how much power, wealth, or status is not going to matter because God sets his face against them with two conclusions that are to be faced. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 7 says, "The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand." So one conclusion is that they're going to be overthrown and they are not. The next one is stated in Job chapter 8 and verse 22. Job 8:22, "They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught." It's going to be futile. How many times have we seen the dwelling place of the wicked come to naught? Think of the characters. Achan, Haman, Pharaoh, Herod, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, Jezebel, just to name a few recorded in Scripture. They came to naught. So no matter how we perceive the wicked, we must remember that they're not going to inhabit the earth. It's going to be short-lived. And regardless of what their plans may be and what they say they're going to be, the expectation may be a little bit different on the outcome than what they think. Let us look at how the Scripture does view what the way of the wicked truly is. If we envy that lifestyle, let us truly look at what it says. The way of the wicked is one of uncertainty, not having any direction or real purpose. Proverbs, the 4th chapter and verse 19 says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 9 and 10, it says, "We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night." Uncertainty. It is also one of turmoil. Isaiah 57, chapter 57, verse 20 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. They may put up a facade that they're happy and everything's great, but it is one of turmoil." Job, the 15th chapter, verse 20 says, "The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days." In Psalms 146, verse 9, "The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down." That's going to be their way. And a lot of times we see that. In just reading about the occurrences in their lives and reading about the occurrences in the athletes' lives, their way is turned upside down. In Hollywood, their ways are turned upside down. The way of the wicked is also one of trouble. In Proverbs, the 15th chapter and verse 6, "In the house of the righteous, it is recorded, is much treasure. But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble." That's going to be their gain, trouble. Job, the 15th chapter, verses 23 and 24, says, "He wandereth abroad for bread, saying, where is it? He knoweth that the day of darkness is ready at his hand. Trouble and anguish shall make him afraid." Have you ever known wicked people to be afraid? Sure have. Those that put their trust in their money, in wealth and fortune, they're worried all the time that all that's going to be took away from them. That something is going to happen in life, that stock market's going to go one way, whatever, no matter what it is, and they worry about that. And they're afraid. Psalms, the 37th chapter, verses 16 and 17, the writer says, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous." The Lord's in control. and their arm is going to be broken. The way of the wicked, it is one of misery. In Psalms, the 32nd chapter and verse 10, psalmist says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Many sorrows. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Romans, the 2nd chapter and verse 9, is recorded tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. That's going to be their lot in life. A lot of times we don't see that. But that's what Scripture says is going to happen. Psalms 112 chapter and verse 10. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. And what's that talking about there in the context is those things that the righteous people do. The things that are good. The things that are what is to be done according to God. And it just irks them so much that they see it and they're grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. But the desire of the wicked shall perish. So they're in misery because of what somebody righteous does. And how we can see that so much today in things when people try to stand up for the right. When they try to stand up for what is right according to Scripture, or try to stand up on morals what is right. How quickly they are put down and how quickly they are looked upon as silly and everything else. The wicked see it, they're grieved. It's misery to them. They can't stand it. Also, we find that the way of the wicked is one of unpeacefulness. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 8, the way of peace, it says concerning the wicked, they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. One of no peace, no security. Isaiah, the 57th chapter, verse 21, along with Isaiah 48 and verse 22, both of them read the same. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's not going to be any peace there. And even if it may seem like early in their life that they're peaceful to us, when the end comes, when it gets time for their departure, that peace is not there. That peace is not in their life. They're worried about how they have lived. They're worried about the future. That peace is took away from them. Also, in the way of the wicked, it is one of placing trust in vanity. Isaiah, the 59th chapter and verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. That's their way. Job, the 15th chapter, verse 31, Job said, let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. That's going to be your reward. If you trust in that, vanity is going to be your reward. Proverbs, the 13th chapter, verse 25, the righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. You ever known those that trust in vanity and they still continue on and on and on? They just can't seem to be satisfied. They still want more and more and more. The way of the wicked is one of desiring evil. Proverbs, the 21st chapter and verse 10, the soul of the wicked desireth evil. Now, when I'm thinking and talking about all this, don't conclude in your mind that, well, I'm thinking about the very wicked, wicked person. Anyone that does evil, anyone that does contrary to God's law, is wicked. So this applies to those. They may not be out here murdering anyone or whatever, but if they don't obey God's laws, they're doing evil, and they're considered as wicked in the sight of God. They may say, I don't desire evil, but their soul does. The way of the wicked is a life of being despised by others. Proverbs, the 13th chapter and verse 5, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. We don't need to go any further with that. We all know those people that are wicked, that we detest them. We abhor them. We look at them loathsomely. And they come to shame. Proverbs, the 10th chapter and verse 7 says, the memory of the just is blessed, But the name of the wicked shall rot. The name of the wicked shall rot. We can all relate to how the mention of the name of the wicked brings contempt and scorn. And we see that occurrence in everyday happenings. When you mention someone that's been wicked, or what they do, or their actions, and what we think about them. We think, how can such a person be like that? How can they do that? The way of the wicked is a life of being ensnared by their own means. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 5 and 6 says, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Job, the 18th chapter, verses 7 and 8 says, the steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. How true is that? How true is Scripture in that? We have recently seen firsthand how those in the political arena have been caught up in their own devices and in their own plans. The Lord has a way of bringing those things around. Just ask Haman concerning the gallows that he had constructed. Oftentimes their plans bring them around to their own downfall. The way of the wicked, it is a life of uncontentment. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. In the 4th chapter of Ecclesiastes and verse 8, there is no one alone and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. You got a dollar, got to make two. Got two, got to make three. Got three, got to make five. Got five, got to make ten. And it consumes them. And there's people like that. The way of the wicked. Job, the 15th chapter and verse 29, Job says, he shall not be rich, neither shall his substance continue, neither shall he prolong the perfection thereof upon the earth. Why? Because God's in control. Zophar's statement concerning the wicked in the 20th chapter of Job brings out the following points. Brings out the triumphing of the wicked is short-lived. He brings out that he shall be as nothing in his death, no matter how great he is, and no matter how great he lived. He still will be nothing in the day of his death. He shall go to the grave with all his sins. They're going to follow him. He hadn't been able to buy himself out of them. He hasn't been able to get rid of them. He goes with them with all his sins. In the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits or distress. Even though he's got everything in sufficiency, he's going to be in distress. The increase of his house shall depart. No matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you strive to gain and amass and everything else, after you die, where does it go? Who does it belong to? The writer in Ecclesiastes brought that about. It's all vain. No matter how hard you work, no matter how you strive for it, this and that, after you die and someone else gets it, it could be gone. They could waste it all. The increase of his house shall depart. Zophar also said, his goods shall flow away in the day of God's wrath. And that's something that you cannot account for. You cannot stop. You cannot alter. You cannot do anything to protect against it. If you're wicked, in the day of God's wrath, your goods are going to flow away. Zophar concludes by saying that this is the portion of a wicked man from God and the heritage appointed unto him by God. Think about that. That's his conclusion. This is what God is going to give him. This is his portion. As Asa did not understand how God deals with the wicked, as he stated in Psalm 73, the wise man draws his conclusion on this matter in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. The mercy of God may extend to him, but yet the wrath of God will finally come. In Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verses 2 and 3, we find the undisputed fact that death and judgment comes to all men, whether you're wicked or whether you're righteous. So the question we ask, where is the advantage? In considering eternity, the advantage clearly lies with the righteous following after God. Because the wicked is not going to end up with anything. Going to lose it all. When one looks at the life of the wicked, please remember to look past the appearance of the outward shell and to consider the true nature of the wicked and replace that feeling of envy that you have with that of sympathy for their true state in the presence of God Almighty. Realize what their true state is. And then you will truly feel sorry for them. You will see through the shell, the facade that they have. We ask you this evening to forsake that life which will bring misery with no advantage as you stand before your Creator and to cleave to that which will give the advantage of eternal life. That is the greatest treasure. And we ask you this evening to make that choice. We ask you to repent of your former life that you live in, of the wickedness, and to turn toward God and set your life to do righteousness for Him, to confess Him, and after confession, to be baptized, showing that that old man of self, that old man of wickedness is destroyed and the new man is brought forth so that you can have that advantage in the day when you stand before your Creator. If we can assist in any way, won't you let it be known while we stand, while we sing.